My name is Lula Grace. I work with people all over the world. I have quite a practice. I use my near-death experience every day. I have the ability to connect to other people. I can see the glitches in people. I can do clearings. I can actually do what I call ancestors, generational, taglines, bloodlines, miasms. There's pretty well anything I cannot do. So if you want to know who your spirit guides are, if you want to know who your angels are, I have that ability also. So I've helped many, many people to heal. I've brought many people back from cancer, from many diseases. So my near-death experience happened when I was 4 years old, and I am now 78. So I have used this near-death experience my whole life, almost. When I was 4, I had the most beautiful, handsome father you can imagine. He was tall, he had dark hair, gray blue eyes, and he laughed all the time, and he always loved to just push the envelope. This was my father. My mother was different. She was a workaholic, and you needed to stay in balance. You needed to be structured. And so I had one parent that was happy, 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 and one parent that was structure. Great combination. There was 4 of us children. At the time of my drowning, because I was drowned, my father had got up one morning and said, "Let's go for a picnic." Wow, can you imagine the excitement and the anticipation? We were going for a picnic. And he said, "Let's go down by that canal. Let's go swimming today." And of course, there was my older sister and my younger sister. My baby brother was still being carried by my mother in her tummy. My mother was horribly afraid of water. Horribly, would just really not go anywhere near it. So as we packed our little picnic lunch, got in that cute little old square blue car that just kind of chugged down the road, we got there. And it was a beautiful sunshiny day, just beautiful. So as we carried our stuff down by the canal, Mother made us stay back, put the blanket back, and we sat down and had the most wonderful lunch you can imagine. And she'd even made homemade cookies. So it was a memory for all of us. So about this time, we decided it was time to get into the water. Well, Mother said, okay. So she walked over and put one toe in the water and said, "That is all that I'm doing." Well, of course, Father, thinking that he needed to stay with Mother and help to take care of my little sister, Dee Dee, because she was just really teeny. So Carol and I begged, we pleaded, "Oh, please, please, let us get into the canal. Just let us." So finally, after a lot of coaxing, Dad said, "Yes, you can do it. But don't you dare go past this line right here." Oh, we promised. Oh, no, we would not go past that line. Would not. Well, here's two little girls. Our shoulders were getting pink. We were hot. And so we started to wade out in this water. And it felt so good. And we were splashing and we were playing and we were giggling, having the time of our lives. Guess what? We went out just a little too far. And that current came along, and it swept us. And before we knew it, we were off down this canal. We both opened our mouths to scream. It didn't work. All we did was fill our mouths with water. Horrible, horrible panic. We were clinging to each other. We were trying to scream. We were scared. And then all of a sudden, something very wonderful happened. It didn't matter anymore. I just kind of floated away. I was taken to a tunnel. Now, most people say a tunnel. My tunnel was a little different. My tunnel was tunnel, 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 tunnel. And it was full of crystals. just crystal after crystal after crystal. And I remember they sat me down on this chair in this tunnel, in this tunnel, in this tunnel. I was going so fast. And I kept thinking, my head is spinning. How am I going to remember this? I wasn't to worry. I remembered there was all kinds of people talking to me at the same time. And I was taking it all in. It was there. I was remembering. It was wonderful. And then I remembered the Savior coming in. That light and that love was so special. And he told me that I had a very special gift and that I needed this drowning experience to come and be reminded and be blessed and gift with his love and these crystals that I was seeing in these tunnels and the things that the spirits were telling me were the people down on earth that needed to know of his light, needed to know that they could heal, needed to know the messages that he was sending to them, and that I was to be the one that was to do this for him. Of course, as a little four-year-old, and yet in that space of time, I was not a four-year-old. It's like I was mature, I knew it all, and I took it all in. And then he said, it's time to go back. And I said, could I not stay for just a little longer? Please, let me stay just a little longer. No, my little one, it's time for you to go back. You are needed. Your mother and father still need you. So then I remember this beautiful, beautiful angel, and his name was Max. And he just picked me up, and then all of a sudden, my sister was beside me. And he picked up both of us, and he took us back. And I remember him swooshing down and picking up our two bodies out of this canal and just literally took them over to the side of the canal where there was this young gentleman who just magically appeared and started to push on my chest. It hurt so bad to come back into my body because I really didn't want to come. But as I came back, my father looked very stern. My mother was screaming and crying. This young gentleman was pushing on my chest. I didn't know whether to cry. I thought I'm in trouble because I had gone out too far. So I had all of these mixed emotions. What was I to do with these mixed emotions? Well, needless to say, I learned that Dad wasn't angry. He just was concerned. So as they hustled us up and took us back home, Carol and I talked together as well as a 4 and a 6-year-old can and understand what had happened to us. But then a funny thing happened. When we wanted to talk to other people, we were told, no, you can't talk to other people about this. They won't believe you. And you're just way too little to have this much knowledge or to want to share this. So you don't talk about it. So Carol and I didn't really talk about it. But we both remember the angel picking us up and bringing us back into our bodies. We both remembered bits and pieces. She chose to forget hers. I chose to remember mine. My sister now has Alzheimer's, and I'm still going strong. So if you have a spiritual experience, if you are asked to do something or to remember something, it's very important that you follow spirit. I am one that I listen to spirit and I follow all the time. So all of a sudden I started to see things. Well, a 4-year-old that can't talk to anybody about what she sees, it's pretty hard to make any sense out of what she's seeing. So a year later, my father and mother were going after peaches And it was a big deal to go after beaches in those days, because then they got to go to the cannery. And then after they'd gone to the cannery, you got to have beaches and peanut butter on toast. That was our treat. So as they were going for these beaches, by that time my little brother had been born. And they were taking Dee Dee and Dial, and Carol and I got to stay with my grandparents. Special treat. However, I felt very, very uneasy. And I started to cry, and I didn't want my father to go. And I begged him, don't go. Just don't go. And he says, I promise I'll be back to get you, and I'll bring you a very, very special peach. This peach will be juicy, and you will love it. So they took off, and I knew my father would not be coming back. That was my first vision. 20 minutes later, my father was killed in a car wreck. Broke my heart. And yet I had seen this vision, and I knew. So that was the beginning of me using my gifts. As I have used my gifts, I have been shown many visions for many people. Three of which was for three of my own children who had cystic fibrosis. So with the first one, his name was Stephen. And he was diagnosed, and the doctor said, he won't live. Just give up. I'm very determined. So Stephen lived for 6.5 years. During that time, I saw him one night as I'm walking down the road in a beautiful, beautiful snowstorm. And all of a sudden, the moon just kind of peeped through those clouds as this beautiful snow is coming down, and it's white, and I hear my feet crunching. And all of a sudden, there was my son in a casket. And I was told, don't worry, I'm bringing him back home, and all will be okay. And I thought, okay, I'm going to trust. So I trusted. And sure enough, my son died a month later. Second child. As soon as Stephen died, she started to get sick. So I thought, okay, here I go again. Well, soon it was a little harder. She lived for 13.5 years. And with Cindy, she had made a promise to her older brother. We had 5 children. She'd made a promise to her older brother that she would not leave without telling him goodbye. That's when I learned that you can breathe for other people. You can keep them alive. And so as I talked to Sin and kept her breathing, literally kept her breathing with my breath until Jeffrey got there. Once they had said their goodbyes, I told Sin, it's over. You don't have to take another breath. And she took no more breaths. Now, with Karen, my other one, she was 22, and she was able to get married, and she had a little boy named Jeremy, a little tiny, premature, 3 pounds, 2 ounces, but we were so, so pleased. And the doctors had told her, you need to have an abortion. This baby will actually really shorten your life. With Karen's determination and her fortitude, she carried that baby and lived for 2.5 years more. With Karen, it was easier because we had talked it through. We had seen the visions. I could talk with Karen about my visions, and she understood how important it is to find people that understand and that you can talk to, because that makes it so much easier. So I've had many visions like that. I've lost 3 nephews, 3 of which I've seen, 3 of which I've helped. The icing on the cake was the day that I stopped to see my mother after work. And she was out in the backyard with her pant legs rolled up and holes cut in her shoes because she had bunions on her toes. And she was irrigating with that old shovel. So, so happy. So we went in and had lunch, and as I left, I gave her a hug, and I knew something was going to happen. 2 hours later, a phone call. My stepfather had ran over my mother and killed her by accident. So my life, with my visions, with my work, some would say it's a curse. Some would say it's a blessing. I choose to see it as positive. I choose to remember that first time when I was 4 years old and that Savior came to me and said, I have work for you to do. He didn't promise me everything was going to be easy. He just promised me, I have work for you to do and you are needed. How many times do we have a spiritual awakening? How many times do we have a near-death experience? You know, losing 3 children, to me, that's a near-death experience also, because that breaks your heart, that shatters you. How many times have we lost a husband or a loved one? To me, that's like almost experiencing a near-death experience, because that shatters your heart also. So I think everyone on earth has the right to say, I've had a near-death experience, and what do you choose to do with it? Do you choose to follow that light? Do you choose to find that light and find yourself within yourself? To find that power and that grace to walk forward into your pathway. As you walk your pathways into who you truly are, you find such a magical, mystical experience. It's fantastic. And if you start to notice the light that is around you, if you start to notice the feelings, the emotions, you will find that there's always a soul within that's there to comfort you, to help take care of you, to protect you, even in those darkest moments. Those darkest moments are there to help us to grow, to stretch us, to see what we're going to do, if we're going to sit or if we're going to take action. I've taken action on my near-death experience. I love my life. With all of the traumas, with all of my experiences, with everything that has happened, I can honestly say, I love my life. I love my work. I genuinely love my work with my heart because I can help so many people. I can touch those souls and get them to see. I can walk their dark pathways with them for a minute until they find that light. So in reality, how many times do you have the opportunity to walk a path with somebody else and shine your own lights? How many times do we miss an opportunity because we're too busy? How many times do we pause each day in gratitude and have that humbleness bring those beautiful warm tears that run down our cheeks with joy? How many times do you get up in the morning and recognize you have 10 fingers, 10 toes, and maybe some don't? But if you do, how do you show gratitude for those? How do you recognize who you truly are? So many people live in a box of fear. When there really is no fear, they're just lies to keep you stuck. As you start to find your own journeys, as you start to welcome the light of all that is, as you find that universal light, the star points. I was told a long time ago not to go into all of these fancy names. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. That way I can help the children. If you use some of these big names on some of these children, you've lost them immediately. So keep it simple because we're all children. So I try to keep things simple. I try to shed my light. I work with many, many people, and I use my near-death experience. How do you use yours? Now, this is just a cover of the book that I've just written, and it's writing from my heart. And if you can see this picture of my face isn't just one. You can see all of the colors. You can see the sadness. You can see the joy. You can see everything. So how many times do you look at yourself in the face and see who you truly are? How many times do you see the joy or maybe feel that anger that creeps up so that you can feel what that anger really feels like? How many times have you cried with yourself? Just sitting and letting a tear flow down your cheek so you can get to know you better. Because as you do, that light within will start to shine, I promise you. So tonight, my gift to all of you is I'm just offering a gift of love. I will send it to all of your hearts. I will send it so it will become like a beautiful envelope that you can open any time you so choose. Each envelope will be different. So if all of you would just think of your favorite color, I'm just going to start to send those energy envelopes to all of you so that as you start, some will feel them, some won't. Doesn't matter. They're still going to be there. They will still start to create miracles. They will still start to bring you love and light. Love and light of what you really need within, but also bringing you a choice of reality of finding the truth of who you truly are. Can you imagine that wonderful, wonderful awakening moment when you finally get to see a glimpse of who you truly are? I saw a glimpse when I was 4 years old. I have seen it many, many times since. There are many times that I have been called back to the Savior to learn more, to see more about these crystals, to see more about what it is I am to be doing. So as you start to walk this journey, expect some of these experiences to happen. Expect some of these angels to come to you. Some of you may think, oh, I want a near-death experience. My grandson who works with me, he's 30 years old. He said, Grandma, you have all of these experiences. You have all of these stories. He said, I have nothing. I have no near-death experience. I have nothing. A month later, he was in a motorcycle wreck. He was flipped 30 feet without a helmet. He cracked his skull wide open. Two broken legs, one from his hip down, the other from his knee down. His bones were sticking out. He lost almost every drop of his blood. They brought him back. They saved him. When he came back, he doesn't remember much yet. He remembers more and more and more. This just happened 2 years ago. As soon as he got out of that, as soon as we got him out of the hospital, his little wife was pregnant. This little tiny bundle of love was born at about 6.5 months. Just really, really, really teeny. He would fit in Shane's hand, but he lived. So now Shane has stories to tell. So be careful what you ask for. Because all you have to do is ask, and the Lord will hear you and bring you the stories and the experiences that you desire. We all create somewhat, and yet universe brings it to us, the Lord brings it to us. Some of it's been created for us, some of it we chose. It doesn't matter. But what you choose to create, what you really choose for yourselves is your desires. Make sure they're righteous. Because as they're righteous, you will be totally, totally amazed at who you are. Not who you will become, but who you truly are. Your hearts will open. They will flutter. They will sing. They will fly. Be you. Because when it's all said and done, who do you take with you but you? That's who I took when I was 4 years old. I took me. I took no one else with me for my experiences, even though my sister went with me. She had hers, I had mine. All we take with us is ourselves. So be you. Now, if anyone has any questions, I love questions.
Do you have business cards?
I don't have business cards, but I brought some flyers. Everybody is welcome to one of these, but just put it on your refrigerator and just study it and let it just come into you. Because I promise as you do this, this is filled with so much love. It's filled with grace.
Hi. Thank you for your experience and
your name, please. I'd like to
Lois
hear your name.
Lois Smith.
Good.
And for the gifts that you brought back. That's so wonderful. But my question also is, when you did get there with your sister, was it together that you experienced?
No. But no.
So you experienced totally opposite.
Mm-hmm. Hers so, went into music, and mine went into healing and taking care of kids.
And when you came back, You talked to each other. You were 4 and 6, so that's pretty young, but you both understood pretty well in a mature way and talked about it.
When you have a near-death experience, you are not a child. Even though you are in your physical body, you are absorbing so much so fast. Okay, it's like you have so much light. It's like being plugged into new circuits. And then as you come back into the physical body can't handle all of that. So that's why it comes crystal by crystal by crystal. That's why now I'm taken back and I'm explained, okay, this is this person's library. This is this person's crystal. So when I work on people, usually I can start to give their own crystal back to them, so I'm not the crystal keeper for everybody.
Tell us more about angels around us.
Okay. You want me to specifically tell you about yours? You have one named Ruby. She stands to the left of you. She has black hair. She has beautiful shiny teeth. She's minus a tooth right here. She talks to you many times, but you don't hear her. Why? I love it. Good answer. She is the one that would really like for you to hear more. She would like you to sing more. She would like you to actually, she wants you to go into a bookstore. She will go with you into a bookstore, and she wants you to just run your hands along those shelves of book until she stops you. And that will tell you what it feels like to have her with you, because she literally will stop you. But her name is Ruby. And if I were you, I would start to ask her, all of you can do this. Start to ask your spirit guide, your angels, 3 questions, because they cannot take away our free agency. So 3 questions in 3 different ways. And so it will either come up, they will answer you. Mine answer me all the time. Mine talk to me. I mean, sometimes I think, okay, give me 5 minutes. And then another way will, something will be brought to you, or you will have an aha moment of your own.
Does Ruby really have dark hair instead of red?
She's got dark hair. It's not red like mine. It's dark.
Okay, this is a female angel?
Female.
Hi. Have you had out-of-body experiences, like traveling? And
I have all the time.
Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Of course. One of my favorite things to do is travel out of my body. It's like I can go up and sit in the clouds. I can travel to other worlds. I go back to a universal still point where there is nothing, nothing there. And as you sit in that nothingness, it like fills you with what you desire, but you're not doing anything. But yeah, I leave my body. In fact, I can push myself right out of my body. See, I just did. I stand over there now. Can you see that? Look right over here.
Not at the moment, I can't, but
okay.
Do you ask for it, or do you seek it, or how does it come to you?
It's like breathing to me. So, but anyone can learn how to do it. If you're going to try it, then visualize that you're going to put a gold chain around your left ankle. Left ankle works better, and that way your physical body knows that you're coming back. So I just stand here, and I can just literally push it back. So if you're ever going to be a healer, if you want to work on somebody, you push it back. So then I allow somebody else's spirit to flow through my body so I can read them better. And then I'll just step back into my body. But yeah, I can travel wherever. I love to go up and sit with the birds and hear them sing. I mean, it's like getting right up next to them.
And what are some of the lessons that you've learned from these out-of-body experiences that you can share with us?
I can go to people's libraries, your library in the Akashic Records. You have about 6 volumes that are waiting for you to open. You have a green one in the corner that's waiting to be fulfilled. So you're going to be going into a new season very shortly. The other one will close down. So I can go into those libraries and just see and start to bring those experiences to you. Then I would go back. I do a past, present, and a future. So I would go back and I would clear your past and then I would bring you back into the present. Then I would go out into the future, and then I do that. Then I start to form an infinitive sign so that all of these things that are happy will start to come. The dark, the parasitical, all of the things that you don't need would start to dissipate, and then the future, I give you a glimpse of the future, and then I would bring that back into the present moment so you can start to walk into your future without the garbage pulling you back.
Thank you so much.
My name is Jeffrey, and you mentioned that you had three questions we should ask ourselves, but you didn't tell us what the three questions are.
If I want to ask something for one of my spirit guides, say I want to make a decision, I want to make a choice, I want to know, should I come to this event? Should I take handouts to this event? Is there some special message that I need to be showing to this event? Then all of a sudden things start to gel for me. They'll start to bring me what I need to tell. I'm a person. People have told me I need to take notes. I need to have everything planned. I had nothing planned for tonight. Nothing. I was just told not to worry, that there was many here that needed to be touched. Many needed envelopes of love, which I've shared with all of you. So now it's up to all of you to receive what I've brought to you tonight. Does that make sense with your three questions?
In a way, yes.
Okay. You just get to experiment, because what you are going to ask for could be entirely different than what I ask for. So you get to ask for yourselves. Okay, say you have a sick child. Say you have somebody that's sick. Okay, how can I be of service to them? Do I need to take a certain food to them? Do they need a certain supplement? Start to ask those kinds of questions. Then if they need a certain supplement, if they need a certain person to come into their lives, they will be brought. All you have to do is ask. Believe me. All you have to do is ask. That make more sense?
Quick question right here.
Oh, there you are.
So I'd like to know, when you talk to your angels, are you hearing audible voices? Are you hearing thoughts, just thoughts, telepathic? Do you see your angels talking to you? Yeah.
All of the above.
All of the above.
All of the above. The other day, I'm sitting outside, and I call it pausing, because as I pause, it's like I just allow me to be me. So, and this would be good for all of you. You can practice it 10, 15 times a day. The more you pause and just be, no thoughts. You're going to have thoughts come up. You're going to have thoughts come up. But as you pause, you start to practice that more and more. You find more and more of that stillness. So as I'm sitting there, I fall asleep. I have a client that I was supposed to start at 1 o'clock. So guess what? All of a sudden, my angel said, Lou, eyes are wide open, and I'm back on track. So mine talked to me out loud also. And I see them also.
So one other question. I know that when people pass away, that when they have their funerals and stuff, that we anticipate they're there. But like, we're having a funeral tomorrow for a gentleman who passed away 11 months ago. Will he be busy off doing something, or will he be with us?
Okay. When my stepfather ran over my mother and killed her in the garage, a week later, I was going to work, and I drove past the house and the garage. The garage was ablaze. I mean, it looked like it was just on fire everywhere. And that was one thing that I was taught, that when people die, if they die and they know they're going to die, you know, we can talk them through that. We can introduce them to who's there. We can do whatever. If there is a trauma, if they're knocked out of their bodies and they're not expecting it, then it takes them a minute to gather those energies. This funeral that you're going to has not been gathered quite yet. So after the funeral is over, this person will gather themselves back up and will be gone in 5 days. So this person will be at that funeral.
Yes, could you tell me who my angels are?
You have a Catherine. She stands directly behind you. You have 10 other ones. Catherine is the one that they run the energies through to you. So it's like she's on guard at all times. So she's been a special protector to you for about 10 years. So something happened about 10 years ago where she was called upon to protect you. She has hazel eyes. She comes from an Irish descent. She loves green, totally loves green. Her fingernails are kind of chipped, which tells me that she's had an earthly body, so she's just not one that has chosen to become a spirit or an angel, and a great love for her life, and has many things to teach you.
One more question. I actually crossed over and came back during a liver transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and told my girls that I knew God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And for a few days I remembered, but I could not tell them the plan. But when I came back, I was asked to do four things, and I've done them all now. And do you think that God will come and get me now? Somebody asked me to.
You're not through yet. The person whose liver that you received, you need to put your hand on your liver and feel that, because you've made promises to that person to actually do 6 things for that liver. Because that liver was a gift, so you will be giving that person that donated their liver 6 things.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you will be told what they are.
You talked about the angels that will tell you, that will let you know this or that or that. I believe that my higher self knows everything and lets me know. It'll even a thing as texting something and then all of a sudden stopping and saying, no, you don't need to say that right now. Erase, erase. So would you differentiate that way or that way?
Our higher selves know everything about us. You're absolutely correct. But in order to learn and to grow, the angels and the spirit guides learn from you as much as you learn from them. So it becomes an exchange. Does that make sense?
No, because I think it doesn't. Could you explain more?
Okay. I have my angels that do all kinds of things for me, because, I mean, I can do everything myself, but they need to be taught and I need to be taught, because we are one, but we are one. If we choose to just become one with ourselves, which we do, but we still need to become one. It's like if I become one with myself. When I was 4 years old, when that Savior came to me and I wasn't open to becoming one with the Savior, I would still be one, but I wouldn't have this. Does that help?
Right. So the angels, as you call them, mm-hmm. are they in a learning process then still, or are we forever, or is there a time when you've done multiple lives and you have learned enough that you come back, maybe only you choose to come back to serve, for instance, or how does this work?
My belief, I think that we all live many lives, and I think that we are all gods and goddesses, queens, priestesses, whatever you want to call them, in training. And when we have reached a certain point, then we open up another treasure chest. I don't think that we ever will be complete with learning. I think that we will always go on and on and on. That's my own take.
I lost my husband 3 months ago, and I've been pretty much a bad wreck since then. So bad, I had several people, in fact, recommend the same medium who is here in Salt Lake, and I said, I don't believe in that, and they said, no, you absolutely have to go. This woman's the real thing. And so I decided to go. It was in a large group, and she, in fact, did read my husband about 15 or 20 facts that were unbelievably true, and I was blown away. I went from being in such an incredibly horrible place to just higher than a kite, believing that he still is there. I went home and called my son and told him, and my atheist son says, Mom, Google your name, and you're going to find out that every single one of those things you told me were either in his obituary or else in the condolences that followed his online obituary. I said, you're crazy. And I, in fact, did that and found out that every single item was in either his obituary or the first long condolence following that. I have been more devastated ever since, because I realize I'm probably never going to be able to contact him, or if he's even contactable. I guess my question to you is, how many people do you think out there claiming to be mediums are faking it like that? Or
far too many.
Yeah.
Far, far, far too many. And that's why you need to open your heart. Your heart right now is closed, and it's grieving, and you need to set aside time to grieve. But I can tell you that your husband is around and will always be around until you feel him. So it's important for you to start to open up your heart to feel. And you are the one that needs to feel that. No medium, not me, not anybody else. I can introduce you, but you're the one that gets to do the work. You're the one that gets to say, are you there? And feel that. Because it's your journey. That's not my journey, but that's your journey. And I can tell you it's time for you to set that devastation down, because it's causing a glitch in your energy that will actually cause you some dis-ease. You don't want that disease, because it will start to break down your energy fields, and you will go on a grieving process that's way too deep. You don't need to go there, because that is not the reason for your life. You need to find your own reason for your life and pull up your bootstraps and start taking action, because he is there. And you yourself believed it. If you believed it for that long, even from a medium that maybe wasn't what she said she was, you need to believe that, because you felt it. That's trusting yourself.
So should I not try to, such as yourself, try to find other mediums who can give me some evidence that...
Trust yourself first. You need to hear this. You need to take it into your heart. Right now, your heart is cracked. Right now, you are grieving. But that medium introduced you to a truth. Everything that she said, maybe, who knows, who cares? It doesn't matter. The whole thing, what it comes down to, is do you have faith and trust that you can actually reach out and touch your husband? Because he's sitting right there. Now, you can choose to believe that or not, but I can tell you he's sitting right there. And he spends a lot of time with you.
Can you tell me anything about him?
No, not in front of this group. No, wouldn't be fair.
One thing I'm thankful for, it's in me to believe. The Bible says we're given different gifts, and I've been given the gift of belief.
Good
I believe
you.
In God, in Jesus Christ, and his salvation. And according to you, we all have guardian angels.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, as far as I know, I've never been directly contacted by my guardian angel or guardian angels. How would you explain that? I believe, but I've never been contacted.
Have you asked? Have you asked them? Have you asked them to so that you can contact them? Have you talked to them?
No, I haven't asked them. I've prayed for...
Start to ask them. You're going to talk to them just like you're talking to me. carry on a conversation with them because they are there. And you have a very special life. You have a very special mission here. You've been given a very special gift. Gift will start to come forth in 6 months. So in 6 months, expect miracles.
Hi, my name is Karen, and I was just wondering, you mentioned both spirit guides and angels. Is there a difference?
There's a total difference. Angels can come and bring you messages and protection. Your spirit guides actually are your teachers. So the spirit guides will bring you the experiences that you need, will hold your hands when you go through. Okay, it's like my spirit guides were the ones that helped me to get through the deaths of my children because they were always there. They were always coaching me. They were always a part of that. My angels come in. They are protection for me. It's like if somebody gets too close to me, they will let me know. They will actually put their arms around me. I'm protected all the time. That's the difference. You guys are wonderful, absolutely wonderful, wonderful audience.
Okay, thank you. All right, I want to thank you, Lula. One thing I'd like to indicate to the group as a whole is that, as I indicated at the beginning of the meeting, in near-death experiences are individual in nature, and what one person shares an experience can be very, very different from what other people experience and how it's integrated into their life. So, you know, just again, try to keep perspective that not all near-death experiences are going to come with gifts that may be shared with other people. And those that do have the gifts, we appreciate them and thank them for sharing that time and those gifts with us. So I want to thank you all for coming, and we'll look forward to seeing you in November, hopefully. Good night.